And here's a wonderful story about a friend who's a counsellor over in Sydney. And she told this story at a conference I attended. It was the Association of Buddhist Counsellors and Psychotherapists in Australia. I'm sort of an honorary member, and for the 2 years I've had conferences, I've given the keynote for them. No, it's the Australian Association of Buddhist Counsellors and Psychotherapists. These counsellors, psychotherapists, psychologists and psychiatrists are just discovering just the amazing riches of Buddhism, especially meditation, and they're actually using them in their practice, and they're actually healing a lot of people. I'll go back to that in a minute, but this particular lady, she was also giving a presentation about the power of these principles in counselling. Because she was approached, had an email from the United States about this very wealthy lady who had terminal cancer, and that was just, you know, half of her problems, anxiety attacks, depression, you name it, she had it. She was a mess, physically and psychologically. And she'd gone to all of these great psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors in the United States, a wealthy lady. No one had managed to even help dislodge her problem. She was only a few months from death, but she was willing to give anything a chance. She'd heard about this Buddhist lady over in Sydney who was supposed to be a great counsellor, and so she asked for an appointment. She flew all the way, you know, from, I think, San Fran to Sydney just for this one appointment with this counsellor. And this counsellor said straight away, if anyone's going to come that far, and they've already been through all these other counsellors, just everything she's learned from the books would not help. I'm sure that's already been done. So she forgot all about what she's been taught. In other words, she was silent. She never assumed anything. A lot of wisdom which comes from mindfulness is when we let go of the past, everything we've been taught and trained. That's just old stuff. Just make your mind still and open and peaceful. And so when this woman, this very wealthy woman, arrived in her counselling room, this Sydney girl had no idea whatsoever what she would say or do. All she remembered to do was when this woman came in and started speaking, that this counsellor from Sydney would be absolutely still. Make her mind very still and peaceful, so she could listen, totally listen with as much mindfulness as she possibly could get. And then she said, what happened next? The person came in and said she had cancer, about to die, anxiety disorders, depression, whatever it was, OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, and all this other stuff. And as she was listening to all that, she was so still, and then when it was the time for this counsellor to speak, she blurted out, the Sydney girl blurted out, I think you should start playing the violin again. Completely, as they say, out of left field. She didn't know where that came from. But as soon as she said that, this woman from the United States burst out crying and was weeping. It turned out later on, when they discussed what had happened, that when this girl from the United States, was young, she actually came from a very wealthy family, very high class, and so she was given private tuition. And when she started learning the violin, her mother said, a girl of your class doesn't need to play the violin, stop it. It was the first time when she was enjoying something that her dominant mother stopped her. And for the whole of her life, being in a high-class society, she was always suppressed and oppressed and stopped for doing what she loved. And for somehow, that psychologist said, I don't know where that came from. It wasn't reading minds, it was just being sensitive. Being so still and listening so much that she picked up one of the causes, or rather the example of the cause of oppression and suppression which would ruin this woman's life. I think you should start playing the violin again, even though you've only got 3 months to live. What I was actually saying was, let go and be yourself, enjoy the moment. Stop trying to please other people or do what other people want you to do. It was actually freeing her inner being. And the next thing which he said after she stopped crying on that one, the only other piece of advice this counselor gave her, he said, And it's a very good piece of advice for anyone who's depressed. He said, I also think you should do some community work. And this idea just came up. Why don't you start a group in the hospitals in San Francisco to read books and stories in the children's burns wards? Because children sometimes have these terrible accidents where they burn themselves or hot oil spills over them. And they have to be put in these sterile wards for many months. And they can watch the TV, but what they really like is human interaction. So why don't you arrange a group of people like yourself who are wealthy, got lots of free time, just to go into these wards and just get a storybook, whether it's Harry Potter or vampires or whatever, and just read it to them. And so again, she cried again. And she kept in contact with this girl from Sydney. She lived about another 3 or 4 years. Totally against all expectations, anxiety disorders and depressions vanished. And she started a group in these hospitals, which is going to this day, of volunteers who would read stories to kids in hospital, confined in these sterile wards like little prisons, just read stories to them and interact. And what a wonderful thing was the end of her life. She died happy and at peace with herself. Now that's an example of what mindfulness can do. You just see so much more deeply. And you feel you can actually listen and understand. And sometimes the way you understand is just almost psychic. But it's nothing, no psychic powers are involved there. It's just because you are fully mindful and powerful, you pick up more of what's going on. That's why this mindfulness actually does a huge amount. Not only do you actually hear more and see more, so in other words you can listen more, your relationships really improve when you understand each other because you're really listening for a change. Not only do your relationships get much better, but also your health improves as well. This particular story, because I don't want to speak too long, there's many questions I'm sure will come. This story was of one of the monks in my own monastery. You know that, you know, we're meditating monks, we all meditate. That's our life, that's our love, that's why we become monks, we're meditating monks. So this monk, he was from Germany, and he started getting back pains when he was meditating. And he went to see the doctor. Doctor said, do some exercise. Nothing seemed to work, so gave him an MRI and found he had a congenital defect of his spine. And the surgeon, the doctor said, I'm sorry, but these sorts of things we just cannot operate on. It's just too dangerous. So he said, nothing you can do. Take painkillers. Is that all I can do? That's all you can do. Or just, even better, stop being a monk and stop sitting meditation all day. It's bad for you. So he's faced with this terrible choice. He wanted to be a monk. He wanted to meditate. He liked it. But the doctor was saying that it's just going to make your back worse and worse and worse. Fortunately, he knew something the doctor never knew about how to be mindful. And actually, he actually found a little book about someone who cured such back pains through the following method. On either side of your spine, you have muscles which you are simply not aware of, simply because they're not so important for you. So what he did with his hand, he started to massage those muscles on either side of his spine, because when he was feeling them, he was being mindful of them. And practicing diligently every day, just feeling those muscles, he was actually literally creating new neural pathways in his brain of mindfulness until he could actually feel those muscles without touching them. He could actually be mindful of them and aware of them, as you can be aware of parts of your body. If you're, say, a dancer, you become aware of parts of the body which other people just don't know about, because you have to. If you're an athlete, again, you become aware. Say, if you're a javelin thrower, you become very aware of your muscles, so you're actually throwing that javelin in exactly the right way. You have awareness of parts of the body which other people just don't have, because of training. So he became aware of these muscles. And once he became aware of them, he had mindfulness of them, it wasn't that long before he could, as an act of will, contract them, stretch them, move them. It took some time, mindfulness of them first of all, and then he had some control of them. So he started to exercise those muscles every day, until they are now so strong, much stronger than your muscles or my muscles around that part of the spine, that now they fully compensate for the weakness in his spine and he feels no more pain. He can meditate as much as he wants.